have with an independent opinion of how the department should perform, which means information that is provided by the department to the committee is not sufficient. An independent performance assessment is crucial. And then, honourable members, if you look at the first part of my presentation, I was talking about qualitative performance, where the Section 5 of the Moneybills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act was talking about looking at the strategic plans of the department and determining how far they have achieved those strategic plans. Unfortunately, honourable members, that information I've spoken about, you cannot get it from the Auditor General report, because at the moment they are quantitative in nature. You cannot get it from the SCOPA reports because it's mainly financial compliance in nature. And that is where now the committee will be expected to capitalize on their own skills in ensuring that they are able to verify if the department did perform to a satisfactory level, and if there are challenges, what is it that needs to be done. And I can assure you, honourable members, that oversight activities and thorough engagement with the department will be of utmost importance in assessing the non-monetary performance of it. Obviously, then, we have another section of performance, which is the quantitative performance. And when we are talking about quantitative performance here, we may, for example, make use of Section 32 reports. Section 32 reports are either monthly reports or quarter reports that are published by National Treasury on the spending of the department. In our template, we recommended that the committees look at mainly at qualitative reports, which is simply the statistical table that National Treasury published. When we are looking at Section 32 reports, what we are interested in are the spending patterns. So the committee will be attempting to identify, if any, under and over a spending. As we all know that both under and overspending are unwanted expenditure, and the Public Finance Management Act cautions departments against, for example, overspending. Now, once the committee has identified that there is underspending or overspending here, it's not sufficient to say the department did not do well because it underspent here and it overspent there. But the reasons behind underspending and overspending are important. Again, here the committee may look at the may look at the operational plan of the department. What is it that the department planned to do when in order to achieve what? And if there is not material underspending, then obviously that will have implications on operational plans. Because if operational plans were implemented as planned, therefore they shouldn't be under materialistic underspending or overspending. Again, there the committee will engage with the department, because underspending could mean, for example, that a project was delayed. And the question will be why the project was delayed. What are the implications of delaying the project? And over and above that, strategically, what are implications? What is going to happen now since the project is delayed? And since there are implications, what is it that the department has done in order to minimize the implication of a delay of a particular program? Now, honourable members, you will see that when you're looking at the financials will link you directly to the strategic plans of the department. In fact, whatever thing that is identified as a shortfall in terms of the use of money expenditure, it needs to be linked to performance, as in service delivery performance. At the end of the day, the committee must always ensure that they link the financials to the strategy plan and the service delivery performance of the department. Bullet number four, honourable members, indicates to us that National Treasury on a quarterly basis provide committees with the so-called spending trend analysis, which means they look at the performance of the department per quarter, and then they look at the performance of the department per program, which means they will report to each and every program within the strategy on how the department has performed. However, this information is available for committee use only. It need not to be distributed. Spending trend analysis includes trend per budget vote, which means all departments, they will be assessed or analyzed by National Treasury, and the National Treasury will provide this report to Parliament. There's a number of variables that this spending trend analysis makes use of, and these variables are per program and also per sub-program. So we can see, honorable members, that this analysis will give us a good indication on how the department can perform pay program as well as pay sub-program. It is a very, very detailed analysis. It starts with a table where financials are reflected, and then an actual analysis on what they on the trend, whether the department is spending to the satisfactory level or it is not. It is a good starting point when the committee is looking at the Section 32 reports. In bullet number four, I added that the committee may supplement the Section 32 reports with the reports that are compiled by the Standing Committee on Appropriations. As we all know, Standing Committee on Appropriations looks at the spending patterns of all departments. It may happen that the Standing Committee on Appropriation has reported on the spending pattern of the Department of Police in a particular quarter. If that has happened, that is another useful source document, because the departments are invited to report on their spending, and then members of the Standing Committee on Appropriation engages with the relevant departments when they are preparing this report. So this is the report that is prepared by other honourable members, and it is of good quality, and it may assist the committee a lot. The challenge might be, we've got so many departments and only one Standing Committee on Appropriation. It may happen that the Standing Committee on Appropriation has not reported on the spending of a particular department in a particular quarter. Then, honourable members, another pillar of quantitative analysis is to look at the annual reports and financial statements. This should not be new to Parliament, because Parliament's been reporting on annual reports and financial statements in the past. It's just that now BRRR put emphasis on the report on annual reports and financial statements. When we look at the calendar year, BRRR reports are due in October. And now the challenge is that, bullet number one, annual reports, as a practice, are tabled at the end of September. Implications are the committee's got few weeks to look at the annual report. This is the challenge as a committee section that we realized here. And we advise the Office of the House Chairperson on how we can engage with departments to perhaps to make the report available beforehand in order to allow committees sufficient time to engage with the annual. And also in the spirit of intergovernmental relations, because we work with, for example, the Department of Police to engage with them to say, this is what the committee plans to do. It would be appreciated if they submit the annual report as soon as it is available, because I know it must start from the Auditor General. So in the spirit of intergovernmental relations, that can be done as well. But at the moment, it's still a challenge because there's nothing in black and white that is, for example, encouraging departments to submit earlier than September. As I indicated before, the Parliament had to report on the annual report. Now, as a result of this Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, that process coincided with the BRRR. And then we made a motivation to the Office of the House Chair that what if the BRRR now subsumes the report of the annual report in order to come up with the one annual report. And then since this template was endorsed by the Office of the House Chair, it looks like that this year the BRRR report will also take care of the report on the annual report, because in the past we had and this was confirmed by the House Chair basically when we had a meeting with the management of the committee section. I wrote, honourable members, that the success on the analysis of annual report is highly dependent on timely submission of these source documents. I think that goes without saying that it is very, very important. Perhaps if the committee can be strategic enough and engage with the department long beforehand, and also to explain that to the department that this is the process that the committee is going to follow in order to compile BRRR report, I think it will be of assistance to the committee. The advice here that we always give is that at the political level, perhaps the ministers could be encouraged that the department submit the annual report beforehand, perhaps in August, so that September can be used to process this information, and that can be done in the spirit of cooperative governance. Because now, according to Public Finance Management Act, there is nothing that is saying that reports must be submitted in August. So that is the pitch that committees must experience in the meantime. Now, honourable members, please allow me to speak to the SCOPA report. SCOPA reports are reports that are prepared by the Committee on Public Accounts, and they report on the performance of the department in terms of financial compliance. The process that SCOPA follows is that they look at the Auditor General report first, and then they invite Auditor General to come and brief the committee on the audit outcome of the department, and thereafter they will invite the department to come and account in terms of the Auditor General report. And the 8-year report is very useful even to this committee, and I would recommend that after the committee has seen the Auditor General report, it will be important for the committee to invite someone who was auditing the department to come and brief the committee so that the committee can get a bigger picture on the performance of the department from the view of the Auditor General. Because sometimes when you read something that is written down, it's different when you engage with the auditor who was auditing the department. I would really encourage the committee to invite personnel from the Auditor General in order to brief the committee, so that when the department comes, at least the committee now fully understands the background of the opinion of the Auditor General. Auditor General reports on unwanted expenditure, mainly on compliance, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Some of the expenditures that the Auditor General may report on, irregular expenditure, some of the expenditure that the Auditor General may report on, and old others. And these expenditures are clearly defined in the Public Finance Management Act on what it is meant by fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Really, when the department is providing a service out there, it needs to ensure that it is not wasting financial resources. It is not engaging in fruitless expenditure. So all these unwanted expenditure, they are summarized in Section 5 of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, where it says that the committee must look at the 1, efficient, 2, effective, 3, economic use of both non-monetary and monetary resources. So when we are talking about triple E's, as in efficiency, effectiveness, and economical use of resources, we are trying to ensure that there is no fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We'll be trying to ensure that there is no irregular expenditure, there is no overspending, and there is no unauthorized expenditure. As I recommended that the committee may want to invite the auditor who was assessing the performance of the department in terms of compliance, they may also invite input from the Committee on Public Accounts. In Parliament, the inter-committee arrangements are always encouraged because committees may learn from each other. So if, for example, the chairperson of SCOPA is available and they've identified a serious issue in the department, the committee may want to invite the chairperson to come and brief the committee. And if the chairperson is not available, they may invite the researchers or the content advisors, I mean the officials working in the Committee on Public Accounts, to come and brief the committee. Again, what we're trying to do here is to ensure that vulnerable members, they get a full understanding on the issues that are affecting the Department of Police, for example. Again, honourable members, we may have a challenge with the SCOPA accounts. Although it is a requirement in terms of the Act to go through the SCOPA accounts, but the question is, what if the Committee on the Public Accounts didn't have sufficient time to look at that particular department? That may be a challenge. I foresee the Secretary's support to the Committee on Public Accounts. That is what my office is facing at the moment, that the SCOPA, due to the workload that they have, they might not have reported on the performance of each and every department. And that is a challenge, especially because the reports that we can use are the reports that have been adopted by the House, because those reports now, they become the resolutions of the House, so they become a formal document that the committee may use. However, honourable members, committee section has advised the Committee on Public Accounts to say that their reports will be needed in order for other committees to come up with BRRR reports. And I spoke to the chairperson myself, and the chairperson said that they are planning to have a workshop with themselves to say now, given the fact that committees are expected to come up with BRRR reports, how they can assist committees better. And I'm confident that something positive will come up from that meeting of theirs. But what I wanted to highlight here under the advice is that annual reports, at the moment, they may be tabled up until the end of September. again, honorable members, you will see that we will have a challenge if that continues. Because it means now, even these reports are not available for SCOPA to look at them. Because SCOPA only looks at them once they are tabled in Parliament. And again, political guidance will be required in future, not in future, but in the near future, on when is an ideal time for this annual report to be tabled in Parliament. I think that will assist the committees a lot if they are submitted earlier than the end of September. Now, honourable members, I want to touch on other information that I think will be useful when the committee is working on the BRR report. What is mentioned there is the State of the Nation address, which is very important because at the end of the day, a critical question needs to be asked to the department. Are you working towards a common vision or are you pulling towards a different direction? For example, if you've got a vision 2020, the important question is, as a department of police, what is it that you've done to contribute to the national government priorities? Because at the end of the day, national government priorities should be a unifying agent among what departments they are doing. If I may make an example, we have a challenge in South Africa of unemployment. The question is, does employment rest with the Department of Labor only? The question is definitely no. Another relevant question is that since we are experiencing high level of unemployment, what is it that the Department of Police has done in order to contribute to employment? Employment is not only the sole thing of the Department of Labor, but all other departments are expected to contribute to alleviating poverty, for example. So a department needs to bear that in mind. Over and above that, now we talk of Millennium Development Goals. The department needs to account to committees on what is it that they've done towards the Millennium Development Goals. Chairperson, I do not know whether honorable members have received a communique from the House Chairperson, whereby he was discussing the focus area for the fourth term. It is mentioned in black and white by the House Chairperson that all departments need to ask a critical question, what is it that you've done towards achieving Millennium Development Goals? And again, that is what I was saying when we say we need to be strategic. We need to look at a bigger picture when we are looking at the performance of the department and look closer at their strategic objectives. So, the State of the Nation address, obviously, is an address by the President. And we know that it is a serious proclamation. If the President said, the country will do X, Y, and Z, automatically, that becomes a policy inverted commas because all departments need to work towards a common vision. In South Africa, we've got recent developments whereby we've got the ministry in the presidency, National Standing Commission. I did touch on it when I was talking about the national government priorities. What is the National Standing Commission is doing? What is it that the department has done towards achievement of those goals of the National Planning Commission? For example, in South Africa, we are talking about Vision 2025. The issue here is, if departments are not assisting by implementing the national plan, obviously, South Africa as a country won't achieve their Vision 2025. So it's important to realize that there are reports by the National Planning Commission, and these reports, they may affect a particular department. That is where now research transformed in order to update members from time to time. Over and above the National Standing Commission, we've got the Ministry Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. I think this goes without saying. The objective of this ministry is to look at the department to determine how they have performed. And the exciting thing about this ministry is that it comes with measurable objectives. What is it that we need to achieve as a country? Not now as a department, as a country. And again, the departments need to ask themselves an important question. What is it that we as a department we are going to do in order to ensure that we achieve 12? I believe there are 12 now. There are 12 now priorities of the state. So the report of the Ministry Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, they will become very, very handy at the end of the day. In terms of financials, honorable members, there is a very important commission that talks about appropriation of funds from the national level up to the local level, local government, where they look at municipalities. And the reports of the Financial and Fiscal Commission are very, very important. And these reports are easily available on their website. And again, the officials may make use of these reports in order to look at their recommendations and then provide summary to members. Bullet number 5, honorable members, this is just a repetition of what I said about oversight. That oversight now is going to become very, very important. If, honorable members, there was a reason for Section 77(3) of the Constitution, it was because of oversight. That Parliament needs to exercise oversight. Now we have a procedure that Parliament can use to exercise oversight on the spending of the department. So oversight is very, very important. Oversight, site visits, fact-finding activities are very important. Because, as I indicated, a committee need not to rely on information that is provided by the department, but they need to come up with their own independent assessment when it comes to performance of the department. The last one, bullet, honorable members, is very important as well. As I indicated before, that prior BRRR would be useful in future years. Because at the end of the day, after 2 years or a year, you want to say, this is what we identified in terms of your performance in the 2010 calendar year. What is it that the department has done? So what is important when it comes to that bullet are the tracking mechanisms. It's very important for the committee to track the implementation of their recommendation in order to do a thorough follow-up. Because at the end of the day, recommendations will not be fruitful to a department if they are not implemented to the satisfactory level of the department. I would encourage the committee that is where they need to strengthen their activities as well. The issue tracking mechanism, the tool that the committee is going to use to track the implementation of the committee recommendations. Honourable members, the last bullet is very important, as I indicated, the budget vote. During the budget vote, it is where strategic plans are tabled in Parliament and the committee engages with the department. It's very, very important. In fact, that is the step one of the BRRR process. Because in the BRRR, you say, this is what you promised during the budget vote, what is it that we have done? According to our own assessment, we believe we have done X, Y, and Z. Why you did X, Y, and Z? Why you couldn't beef up your performance to a certain level? And hopefully the department will brief the committee, and then desirable outcomes will come out of that briefing and engagement with the department. Now, honourable members, I would like to take you to another stage of the BRRR statement, which is committee observations. A committee will need time where it will sit alone with no department present to say, we've had the briefing by department, by its entities, what is our view, whereby the committee will synthesize the findings that they received after they conducted oversight visits, briefing by department, auditor general report, scorecard report, and all other source documents that the committee will use, and say, here is the research, in better comma, that we've done. Now, how can we ensure that we summarize our findings in a coherent and logical format? That step is very, very important. I'll tell honourable members why it is so important that our observations are summarized in a logical format. And key findings, honourable members, they should be based on analysis made above, which means these activities that the committee is going to engage in should be guiding the committee on their findings. In South Africa, we operate in an environment where you hear a lot of things, and some things come from the media. And it's up to the committee on how to use that information. But our advice is that the observations of the committee should be based on the activities of the committee. And we do not encourage unacceptable sources, things like rumors. Because at the end of the day, the committee does not want to base their decisions on rumors. And then those were committee observations. It's very, very important. And conclusion. Based on its observations, that is the achievement of strategic priorities and objectives of the department, and the efficient and effective and economic use of both non-monetary and monetary resources, the committee should make a clear statement on whether it is satisfied with the department's service delivery performance or not. So, honourable members, I hope now you can see why the committee observation section is very important. Because based on your observations, honourable members would have to take a view to say, we believe the department has underperformed here and here and here, but the department has excelled in X, Y, and Z. However, we feel the department should be assisted by T, M, and X. And I will elaborate on why that such type of conclusion is very important. It's simple because at the end of the day, the committee, according to the Act, may make recommendations. Obviously, the committee wants to make recommendations that are based on the tangible evidence, the evidence that they verified themselves during briefings, oversight, and other activities of the committee. And once they are confident, they formed a view on the department of the committee per program, or a sub-program as the chairperson was indicating, then the committee make a recommendation to say, for example, program A, we feel they need more money because they had good implementation plans and they did implement those plans, but they could not increase the scope of that particular program because they do not have financial resources. That will assist the department, and that will assist the other committees as well. I will touch to it just now. So that is simple because BRRR report will be submitted to the Minister of Finance, who is in charge of appropriation of funds. It will be given to the ministry, to the Minister of Police, who has got an overall political leadership in the department. Now the committee will be informing their counterparts, the other executives. And over and above that, BRRR reports will be used by finance committees when they are making money bills. So finance committees, obviously they do not have time to understand each and every activity within a department.
So they will rely, some of the things they will rely on is the BRRR report. Therefore, after reading the BRRR report, they will realize that the Department of Police, for example, is good in program A, but their limitation were financial resources. They were effective, efficient, and they were economic in the use of resources, but they couldn't cut to the bone. What they need is an increase in budget in order to continue doing the good work. So recommendations are very, very important. Although the Act says may, which means the committee is not obliged to come up with recommendations, I think recommendations will play a good role when assisting other stakeholders that have interest in the department, including the executive. In the committee section, we always advise on the recommendation, on the content of recommendation, on how it should be phrased. And we always draw our attention to the constitution, that the recommendations need to be constitutional, which means we must respect the separation of powers. We as Parliament, we can make recommendations to a department, but we cannot give instructions to a department. So the principle of separation of powers is very, very important, as it is stipulated in the Constitution. And we also say that the principle of cooperative governance is also important. And that is why, honourable members, I indicated that we have a challenge at the moment with the submission of annual report. Perhaps, in the spirit of cooperative governance, we may be creative on how we are going to engage with the department to submit annual reports before the end of September. So, for example, when the minister is invited to this committee and the minister comes to brief the committee, perhaps that could be one of the agendas that the committee may want to discuss with the minister for 5 minutes or so. I think that will do good to both parties' consent, especially because if the annual report comes early, it means honourable members will get more time in order to go through the annual report. Equally important, honourable members, we recommend in the committee section that recommendations must be clear. In other words, recommendation must be clear in terms of who the committee, who they are directed to. In other words, who must do something. And what actions are expected, what action is expected, who must do what, and what is it that X must do. And we always encourage, we advise that recommendations, they must be reasonable, they must be achievable. For example, if the department has been efficient, effective, and economically using their financial resources, it cannot embark on a new project. So by reasonable or achievable, you cannot expect the committee to continue do good, the department to continue do good work if really they've cut their expenses close to the bone. Because really, we do not want it to be a skeleton at the end of the day. Another recommendation that we make are time frames. We've realized that recommendations with realistic and acceptable time frames, they tend to be more implementable, or the department takes them seriously and implements them because there are time frames that are involved there. But over and above the time frames, honourable members, I just want to emphasize the issue tracking mechanism for the committee. It is very, very important. And also to share that information with the department, that on day X, we are planning to come and verify how far we've gone to in implementing the recommendation or carrying on your strategic plan. Thank you very much, Chairperson and honourable members.
Yes, thank you very much. A very interesting presentation, which makes more sense now. for earlier on. You have raised many important things and interesting things. Tomorrow we will be having a sort of workshop on the substandard report. We are going to have the AG. We're going to have a civil society organization such as Institute for Security Studies, a Criminal Justice and Crime Prevention Project, it's another civil society institution. They will also be talking on the SAPS annual report. But as you rightfully said, the issue of time, because as this portfolio committee, we are overseeing not just SAPS. We also, as I indicated earlier on, we have CIRA, we also have ICD. And it's practically not possible that before the 22nd we shall have gone through all these reports, the three of them. So we decided that we'll focus in the main on SAPS annual report for BRRR report purposes. The rest we'll see maybe when Parliament is able to deal with the issue of time as to whether we'll be able to do it. It's not like we'll not want to recommend, particularly on CIRA report, for instance, annual report, for instance, but it is because there won't be time, according to time frames that are set by public parliament. So we decided to focus our energies for BRRR report on SAPS only, and then the rest it will just be the normal report that we had. I want to believe that all members will want to speak on this important presentation. So I will allow all members to speak. I will start with Honorable AG, Honorable Yakreto, Honorable Shiman, Honorable Swate, Honorable Van Vick, Honorable Mochumi, Honorable Mushu. All of us are going to talk. Your hands can start.
Thanks, Chairperson. Mine is actually a clarity seeking question. Just to say, the presenter made mention of that we cannot give instructions to the department. I'd like him to explain why he says so. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. Just one or two comments or questions, maybe. But in this presentation, it talks about the fact that we need to be talking to departments or about submitting the annual reports earlier. But my understanding is that there's a requirement that they be submitted within 6 months, I think it's 6 months of the financial year end. And if I'm not mistaken, it does appear. The PFMA, I think it does. And if that is the case, it's going to be very difficult to go and ask departments, can you submit earlier when there's actually a particular time frame within which they're required to submit. And bearing in mind that those annual reports are not just one that's preparing the annual report, but it's also dependent on the Auditor General, because the Auditor General's report must be there as well, and a number of other factors. So I don't think it's as easy as to say, well, you know, you must go and persuade departments to go and change the time frame in which they submit their annual reports. And in any case, often departments battle to actually adhere to that six-month period and very often submit them late. So I think it's not something that I think should be left to committees. I think if there is such a requirement, it's something that needs to be taken up with Treasury. Perhaps as clarity regarding the source of information to provide the PC. And it is only here relying on the state of the nation address and other government agency, and it doesn't also draw, the presenters didn't actually tell us as to whether is it going to be possible maybe for us as a committee to also use independent institutions that is actually doing the same reports, because here I only see that it's actually saying that we need to be careful when we can get into the information, because it's saying that somewhere we might not, there might be unacceptable sources. So I just want to find out as to whether are we only relying on information from the government or the government agency and not actually focusing outside of the box, because I think those independent institutions are actually playing a very crucial role in actually checking as to whether is our department actually doing what it's supposed to do in terms of performing its task. So I just want to find out maybe if I could be clarified on that one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jefferson. I also have more comments than anything else. I think that I want to agree with the Honourable Schneeman that, and I think in a way this committee is fortunate, because a lot of the things that are suggested we have been doing. I mean, oversight visits, focusing on what the priorities, key priorities of the department, but also of government is. So in a way we've been doing that, and we've been keeping record of those things. So in a way we are lucky. The workshops with Auditor Generals, Treasury, etc., we've been doing that. And I think that makes work for us easier. That's also, I think, why we had the feeling that, and the Honourable Schneeman said that as well, that you can actually start writing this report during the budget process. Because a lot of what your findings during the beginning of the year, when you look at the budget process, will inform in the end also what you are going to be your recommendations. I've got a concern, however, Chair, and my concern is that I agree with the Honourable Schneeman, forget it for us to request ministers or departments to hand in annual reports earlier. It's not going to happen. And you can't expect it to happen. There are too many other things, and there are a process that leads to this. It's got to be a decision that is taken that in order for this to be to work, that you make it a 5-month process instead of a 6-month process. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. But I've got a concern that a lot of the focus is on finances and not on the actual delivery of service on the ground. Now, departments can have a perfect financial statement, which this department often do have. They often 1 cent overspent or 1 cent underspent on their budget. But if you go to the ground and you look at what's happening on the ground, it's a different story. It's got a completely different story. My other concern is that the interaction, and a lot of the presenters focuses on intergovernmental relations, etc., is that this committee has raised on numerous occasions with Treasury and with the Auditor General's offices our unhappiness around the department spending. And for instance, where the department will use from visible policing, the very much will come from visible policing, which is a priority, and will be spent on issues where you actually don't want them to spend the money on. But because it's within the rules of the PFMA, neither the Treasury nor the Auditor General think it's a serious concern. But looking at this department's budget of 40-something billion rand a year, 42 billion, 52 now, 52 billion, the betterment amount is huge. For instance, one of this committee's recommendations during the budget process was a request to Treasury to say, we believe that we should relook the question of betterment, where we're currently looking at a percentage, that we should say, cap that with an amount. If that percentage is over a certain amount, the department, any department, needs to go back to Treasury to ask for the okay to go ahead so that you have a percentage but also a cut amount. But that's been basically, it's nothing coming from it. I'm sure it's something that we would consider to put in our view, our report again. But how much does it commit this insurer? And I think that's for me the major question at this stage. It's going to require, I almost use a strong word now, but it's going to require a heck of a lot of work from committees to do BRR reports. How do committees ensure that those reports are actually taken seriously, not only by the department, but also by Treasury and also by the Auditor General? Because quite frankly, you look at the report of this year, the Auditor General is raising yet again issues that he raised last year and the year before. At what point in time is he going to give them a qualified audit as a result of that? It's issues that this committee has raised previously as well that we are concerned about. And it's not simple issues. It's issues that involve billions of rands. It's issues that reflect on the credibility of the crime statistics of this country. That's the issues that the Auditor General is raising in his report. But how do you ensure that the BRR reports are actually going to be taken seriously also by Treasury and, well, departments in a way you can handle, but the Treasury and the Auditor General? I think that for us is a big concern, because this committee also raised the issue around buildings. I see it in here again, Chairperson. But so what? And I think again there is where the cut comes in. If a department is within a certain percentage of over or under spending, or non-reporting on expenditure, they seem to get away with it. Shouldn't there be a cap as well in terms of the amount that is involved in the non-reporting, in the over-expenditure, in the under-expenditure? Because there's a difference between a department that's got a budget of 52 billion and a department with 10 billion rand in terms of what that amount is. Second question that I just have, Chairperson. I understand the financial part of this now. I mean, as I said, as well, a lot of emphasis placed on it. But how do we, as a committee, with the work that we've done in terms of oversight, how do you make that part of the BRR report? Where would you include your oversight findings that impact on service delivery? Where would you include that in the BRR report?
I believe the procedure is if one wants to speak, that person will raise his or her hand, and I don't remember having my hand up. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Because the methodology is also expected to be given when compiling these pieces of art. I want to know whether there are options that are given to committees, which methods to use, or does any committee has the right to use their own methodology? Why is it necessary to put also the methodology that's used? Are the methodologies that are accepted and are the others not accepted? Particularly if there are no options that committees should choose from. That's my first question. And secondly, I would want Mr. Nkita to please go back to the recommendation he gave about BRR subsuming a report on NPR. BRR says BRR should subsume a report on annual report. If you can just go over that again and explain what it means by that. And thirdly, he talks about unacceptable sources should not be used. Now, how do you qualify unacceptable sources? I think my colleague here did raise the issue of many NGOs and private organizations have been giving some information that I'm sure to be very difficult to
acceptable source, if you could give us a guideline of what actually it is, I would appreciate that. And then lastly, Honorable Analyst also touched on what I was going to ask regarding the visits that we're making, because most of them are not explained in monetary terms. In this P3R, how do you quantify them? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Let me take Mr. McKinsey in the thank you at the end of your presentation. I also want to thank you for the information that you gave us. I'm also concerned that the annual report might be tabled at the end of September. Tabling is a process. It takes time, which means it's at the beginning of October. I mean, of course, the committee must be report. Committee report must be finding a report in October. I think that time is very, very condensed and limited. And it brings havoc or would the committee not definitely do it a marvelous work within such limited times? I also want to raise my concern on that. Something must be done. A second issue along the oversight. We pay an oversight on every part, and I have learned that this oversight affects finding. Fact finding. I like the word fact finding, and I want to emphasize it. But don't go to areas outside to get reports, but to visit, to take an oversight on reports. So I'm very happy that our oversight affect finding, verifying the reports. I hope this workshop can be for every committee in our parliament. Lastly, after now, that's all I wanted to say. Thanks, Chair.
No, thank you very, very much for the questions. I said I was going to allow all members to ask questions. I pointed at Honorable Yehudu when you were still outside, and I know for a fact that you will wait for members to raise hands and allow them to speak, but I think all of us together will have to embark on this process, and I would have imagined that all members have interest and want to ask clarity-seeking questions on this important subject, which is new to all of us, and that is why I just pointed at people without their hands up. It's not because, as a chairperson, I don't know that I have to wait for people to raise hands, but because of the nature of the work that we are doing. I just want to ask this question. On page 5, I could not follow you. You said the amaze and the must. Can you just clarify the must in particular, because the recommendations are a may, which I think brings the whole issue raised by other members of recommendations being recommendations. And that is why they are even a may maybe. And it also talks to the enforcement of those. And because somewhere, as you said, we have to respect the independence, you know, the fact that you have the department, we can't instruct the department. really say this, it is a little bit discouraging because we have been recommending and recommending and recommending year in and year out, monthly and whatever. We have been recommending. We go out, we come, we compile a report, we recommend, and we don't have a way of enforcing, of ensuring that those recommendations are implemented. Yes, you're going to ask this question. We said, why are you not doing it? But you can't enforce it. And it would seem like it will still be the same thing, even now. But I just want to be clarified on the must in particular, because amongst those must, you have your consideration of SCOPA reports, for instance. And I'm not sure whether there is anything from SCOPA that is relevant to ourselves for now. We've not been informed by SCOPA of anything. On page, I think on page 7, I think this might also be a comment and a question. I think it talks to systems. The issue performance measurements and performance evaluation, it actually talks to systems, which I think we now have to demand from the department. You are saying this is your target, but what are the systems in place? And how are you going to implement 1, 2 that were able to say by this time you are here? It will talk to this. I think the questions on Section 32 reports have been asked by Honorable Greg O'Committee, because we really are not getting these as committees. I do remember at some stage I asked if we could get it, because at some stage I was a member of Joint Budget Committee and we were receiving those. And very important information is in this report. But immediately you're not a member, you're not getting that. It would seem like we're not. And if we must use them now for the first time, it just adds to our work. We'll be seeing patterns of spending which we could have picked up earlier on as an interested portfolio committee. And I wonder if it would be possible really that this be attended to. Yeah, I think many of other questions have been asked by members, and we will allow you to respond to some comments, Honorable Craig.
Sorry, Chairperson, it's just a clarity seeking question, or a question actually, but my understanding of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, when it was passed in Parliament, my understanding is that one of the powers that it gives to Parliament is in a way bending on the budget and of being able to, I think it is to recommend the movement of funds between programs. I mean, I don't have the bill in front of me, but I know that was one of the key aspects of that bill. Just to clarify, this presentation has been made to us. When you talk about recommendations, are you talking about recommendations in terms of performance, etc., or are you also talking about recommendations that we as a portfolio committee may want to make in respect of particular programs that we feel that the expenditure in a particular program is too little and that we need to see funds move to that program? Because this doesn't seem to address it very clearly. I just need some clarity on that, as to whether that's what is expected as well in this whole process. Thanks, Jane.
This is just another question. In terms of the years that we are looking at, that we are involved in the BRR report, we can't in the 2010-2011 financial year. So we look at just at the 2009-2010 year in terms of the BRR report, or do we look also at what is happening in the current situation in the 2010-2011 financial year, because that will already have changed maybe, or it could have worsened or improved, etc. And if it does, it obviously complicates the issue further. The recommendations that we are making are for the 2011-2012 year. So can you just give us an indication, what are we looking at? Are we looking at 2019, 2010-11 as well?
Thank you, Chairperson. I thought other members of the council would ask me
a simpler question. Honourable members, I'm afraid some of the questions, they require political answers, unfortunately. But the good thing is that this workshop has broke the ice. Now, members know that perhaps they really need to engage. That's a good thing. Well, I'm going to start from the top and relate questions because some are related. Yes. For example, the question from Honorable Monebati about extraction and why we cannot extract. And I can link that to your question, Honorable Chesterton, why we cannot extract. Well, it all goes down to the separation of power. The way parliament, executive, and judiciary, the way they are formed, unfortunately, it's a system that we as a state agreed on, separation of powers. And the constitution talks about encroaching as well. So that is why instruction is the language that we don't encourage, we always encourage recommendation. For example, if I may make use of an instruction, you go to the Department of Police, then Minister, fire the Director General because the Director General did X, Y, and Z. Now, that is an instruction, and again, it is not conforming to the principle of separation of powers. Okay. However, a recommendation may be made, and a strong recommendation can be made. It's a pity, madam, that you indicated that you've been making strong recommendations. I think my advice to the committee is that these are honorable members of parliament. I think if you've been making strong recommendations and they have not been implemented, it would be a good idea to call the minister. Because at the end of the day, the minister is giving the political leadership in the department. And parliament's got that role to play, to call ministers to account, in other ways, to exercise oversight over executive action. Yes, that can be done. I think that's what we can do in order to ensure that strong recommendations by the committee are taken serious by the department and they are implemented. And also to link that with the issue tracking mechanism, to say we recommended on this day, we expected them to have performed X by a certain day, but it hasn't happened. I know that the ministers are busy, but if the committee plans proactively ahead, I'm sure the minister will accommodate the committee. And in fact, they've got an obligation to come and brief the committee. That's not the minister.
Sorry,
Janice,
to go in a debate, but the issue is not recommendations that we make in terms of Parliament. I mean, this committee has no scruples about going to Parliament with committee reports and making and debating it there so that it becomes a decision of Parliament and therefore be implemented. The issue is around recommendations that we would make to Treasury and to the Auditor General's staff, and that not getting the necessary attention. That's what we're talking about. More than that, the issue is not the political issues. The political issues this committee on numerous occasions have taken to Parliament so that and debated it. Not only took a report to Parliament for notification, but a report for adoption. So I think we just need to make that point clear as well. I appreciate what you're saying. I mean, that we do, and we don't have a problem in doing that. It's the intergovernmental approach that I'm worried about, because this committee don't see the Minister of Finance. It doesn't even see the Auditor General. It sees staff and senior staff of those two departments.
Thank you very much, ma'am, for your.
Let me welcome some of the guests that have joined us in the gallery. This is the Portfolio Committee on Police, and we are in a workshop which you are most welcome to join. Of course, you will not be given an opportunity to ask questions or to comment, but we are happy that you are interested in our work. It's the Portfolio Committee on Police, and we are in a workshop regarding the report which we must produce after we have processed the annual report that comes from the Department of Police.
must look.
Just before continuing, the other issue is the fact that I agree with you, tracking mechanisms, etc., extremely important. But that requires a parliament improving its performance. And like I say parliament, I'm not talking about the members of parliament, I'm talking about the staff of parliament. The committee section, the research section, etc. To have that mechanism in place so that they can say, remember, on this day the department is supposed to come back to you. There's none of this. We all know that it's extremely difficult even to get a memory, institutional memory of the past year from the committee section or the research section. So the issues that you are saying are true, but it requires also then an adaption from Parliament and the way that it operates. I mean, the next part of our workshop is this report. We've requested that the committee section, the research section, give us their document a week before the time. We received it yesterday. That's the bottom line.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, ma'am, for your comment. I'm glad that the committee will sit and engage. That's kind of important. Well, ma'am, on the issue that sometimes the recommendations are not implemented by other ministries and another department, for example, let me call them Department Auditor General, when a recommendation of a committee is adopted by the House, it becomes the resolutions of the House, and therefore it should be implemented. And if the department or the ministry is not implementing those recommendations, there are procedures and processes that the parliament needs to follow in order to ensure that it's done. And someone who has got an overall authority on that is the speaker. Is the speaker, because here we talk about national assembly. And I'm confident that the management of the committee, together with the chairperson, may engage with the relevant departments to ensure it is done. But once it's adopted by the House, it can be done. I think again, perhaps looking at those issue tracking mechanisms, then we can gather facts and then make a presentation to the House Chairperson, because the House Chairperson forms part of the office of the Speaker. Yes, it can be done. Thank you, ma'am. Please, honourable members, allow me to talk about submission of annual reports. I'm glad that members are agreeing with me that is the challenge. It is really a challenge. How it can be done, sometimes we need to discuss it on how it can be sorted out. Yes, honourable was right when he said that in the PFMA, that needs to be done within 6 months. 5 months is for Auditor General, and thereafter, from the Auditor General, the report goes back to the Minister first, because the Minister must be updated on the report of the Auditor General before it comes here. Which means Parliament really needs to discuss this and come up with creative ways of ensuring that members are given sufficient time to prepare each report, our reports. Unfortunately, we've got two options here. One option is to delay the submission of the BRRR or the annual report to be early. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of choices when it comes to the annual report. And I understand that sometimes it causes havoc. I quote one member, if these are submitted at a later stage. So the submission of reports, I agree with you, honourable member, it needs to be taken to a higher level. That it is going to include the presiding officer. Very little officials can do when it comes to that. Now, I would like to also address your follow-up question, honourable member, when you're talking about why the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act. Yes, you are correct. The Act is there in order to allow Parliament to amend money bills. Before, Parliament used to either accept or reject the money bill. And then Parliament realized that is not enough. We need to amend it. We need to change it to say, move money from this department to that department. I didn't want to talk to that honorable chairperson because the act tells you who can do that and who cannot do that, unfortunately. For example, this committee may make a recommendation to a standing committee on appropriations to move money from Department X to Department B. However, if this recommendation is made, this committee needs to discuss in detail the implications of that recommendation from both departments, the one which is going to receive less money and the one that is going to receive more money. It can be done. However, the Act is very clear that any other PC committees in the NA make a recommendation to the Standing Committee on Appropriation. Meaning, the Standing Committee on Appropriation will look at the recommendation. They may either implement the recommendation or not to implement the recommendation. That is the challenge now. In other words, this committee cannot force Finance Committee to implement it. But they will look at the facts and they will also consider other issues and look at the bigger picture. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. And Honourable Member, you also touched on the BRRR process. Where does it start? Yes, we agree. This process starts as early as the budget vote when we're looking at the strategic plans. And again, ma'am, you were correct to say we can start writing the BRRR report as early as the budget vote. You can say, okay, here is a detailed report on the budget vote. Now, what is it out of this report that we are going to pound beat it a bit and make it the mandate and the strategic objectives and the priorities of the department? Yes, it can be done. Thank you.
I might just ask on the issue of the Finance Committee being the ones that actually take the decision. Is there a sort of procedure for them? You know, we send these recommendations to them as the portfolio committee that interact with the department and have a much better informed information, if I may put it that way, and then they take a decision. It's just them saying no, finish. Or maybe they might have to engage with us if they think the report maybe is not enough to enable them to implement what we are recommending. How does it happen?
Now you understand, ma'am, why I didn't want to talk about it. Well, ma'am,
So, Chair, can I ask a follow-up to your question as well? If a portfolio committee, my understanding is it's not between departments. My understanding is between programs in a budget vote. But it's not saying we want to transport funds from agriculture to police. That's what my understanding is. It's not that. Correct me if I'm wrong. Chair, I think the question would then be as well, let's say we had to make a recommendation that we would want to see greater emphasis placed on visible policing and we would want funds moved from administrative, for instance, to visible policing, and we're making significant recommendations. Does Parliament provide us with adequate research capacity so that when we take that decision, we have some sort of capacity that can actually say to us these are the implications. And if you do this, this is what the impact will be on the operations of the South African Police Service in terms of the administration program. I'm just wondering that because it might be very easy for us to say, look, move R1 billion to this program, and we ourselves don't have the full information as to what the impact would be. So has Parliament put in place the necessary expertise and capacity that would help us as portfolio committees when we come to make such decisions or recommendations?
Thank you, Chairperson. I was saying, no, you understand why I didn't want to open that chapter. It's a very interesting chapter. The Honourable Member is correct here. There are two ways the money bill can department and per program and per department as well. However, the committee is given the role to amend it per program. Yes. But remember, honourable member, that the why money bill is to give Parliament the procedure to amend money bills. Yes, it can be done. It's just that when you're amending the appropriation bill, which is appropriation of money between departments, you need to ensure that you are doing so within the adopted fiscal framework and revenue proposals. That is why it's important for Parliament to consider and adopt fiscal framework and revenue proposals first, which is like the size of the cake, honourable members. Now, how you cut the cake before, Parliament did not have any say. Either you accept it or you reject it. Now, Parliament can play an active role in cutting the cake. That's this act. Now, Honourable Chairperson, you asked a very important question. You've made a recommendation to the Finance Committee what is going to happen. At the moment, ma'am, the Act provides that there must be rules on how other committees are going to be involved in when the finance committees are actually processing money bills. Unfortunately, those rules are not yet adopted. It means they're not yet implementable. However, I would expect the committee to invite the Committee on Police to say why fiscal committees will recommend this, just to get a fuller understanding. But the unfortunate part is, if the finance committees are not convinced, there is nothing that this committee can do to change their mind. They can only advise and encourage them and share ideas with them. But at the end of the day, the Act is very clear who will amend it. It's only the finance committee. The reason being, the finance committees, they don't look at the money for one department, but they look at the money for all other departments as well. That is what the Act is saying at the moment. And then, Chairperson, please allow me to move on to Section 32.4. The question is that Section 32 reports are not available for this committee. I don't know whether I did get the honourable member correctly. Section 32 reports are publishable by National Treasury. They are public information. They are available on the website. I think the honourable member was referring to spending trend analysis. I think so. If I can verify that.
But I was talking about the Section 32 reports. But you can sure about the other as well.
Section 32 reports, yes, they are available on the website. They are of public information. Anybody can get them. But there is a special analysis that National Treasury does. It does an analysis on Section 32 reports. And that analysis is available for committee use only. Yes, you are correct that report used to be used by finance committees. But I don't think there will be anything that can prevent other committees to get that report. Perhaps now the committee needs to strategize on how they can get this information. I'm confident that if it is available for one committee in Parliament, it may be made available to other committees in Parliament as well. Perhaps the disadvantage is that I work with finance committees, so for us it's easy to get this information. But that I'm going to make our project as the official, including myself, supporting this committee, to find out whether it's easy for the committee to get those analyses as well. That is going to be our project number one.
Sorry, Chief, but that's exactly my point that I've been making. This success depends on Parliament's capacity to support committees. Because these things are available. You're quite right, they are available. There's nothing stopping us to get there. But you expect Parliament support staff to make it available to you. That's the bottom line. And it comes back to you know, even when we talk about the rules of regarding, I'm not fighting with the presenter at all. I think it's challenges that we are facing as an institution that we need to address. It's challenges that as an institution we are facing. Does it mean that this committee, or any committee for that matter, need to instruct, or do we have committee sections, research sections that can proactively do this? That's part of the challenge. Is the committee section and the research section on board with the BRR report and what is required regarding that? You know, in the gentleman's answer to the question about how do we ensure recommendations, and your question about, you know, what informs the appropriation committee to accept or not to accept? Maybe, and that's again why I say it's challenges of the institution. Maybe one of the things that one should have thought of is and that one maybe can still think about, is that the appropriation committee need to have representatives in campus that can actually attend some of these meetings when the committee engages in these issues. Maybe another way is of committees being able to lead their own evidence in front of the committee, not merely sending through a report, but motivating the report like in a public hearing of that committee. You're right, engage, 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 but how do we engage? Is it doing it in the corridors of Parliament, or are we going to formalise that process? And I think those are questions that we haven't answered as an institution yet. As much as the rules are not ready, which means we're writing a report that's not going to get the necessary attention, which is fine, it's part of the dry run to do so. But we also need to start looking at how are we going to do this. And I think there's a bigger challenge around the whole issue.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sure that you've answered some of the questions. And also, a big question is, before there was no act, and now we have an act, and the act needs to be implemented, can really the available staff do better, whereby additional duties are being added and added and added, and only to find out it's not supported by human resources? Those are very important questions. Those are very important questions. And I agree with the chairperson that I think perhaps the committee therefore needs to sit now and say, now, because we've got this, and this is what we are expected to do, this is our strategy. And in order to implement this strategy, these are both financial and human resources that we think will assist us to do that. And to formalize that meeting and a request. And I must say that, ma'am, what you raised, most committees really are experiencing the same challenge. And the officials, I can assure you, are one of them. I will say the same. As I'm here making this presentation, there's a backlog that is piling up for me when I get back to my office.
Thank you.
Now, Chairperson and honourable members, please allow me to move on to the independent institution, non-governmental agencies, and acceptable sources. By acceptable sources, I indicated that we cannot act on a rumour. What is said in a newspaper, it does not mean that it is correct or it is not correct. But fact-finding is what needs the committee to do. And also, when you are making fact-findings, if you hear a rumor about something, what would be important is to engage with the department to verify if it is correct or not. In other words, to look at the both sides of the coin. Because at the end of the day, the committee does not want to base their decision on something that may be found to be not correct in the future. So thorough research, thorough analysis, that is what I'm saying, rather than basing it on the rumors. If I may make an example, which I'm not going to explain, but I know it is a hot issue at the moment. National health insurance. Okay. Really, what is it that's going to happen? You know, people are saying things left and right, but what I'm saying is that if that issue comes before the committee would need to look at the evidence before them. Yes, making use of department, making use of government and other non-governmental agencies. Okay,
long as information is reliable. Reliability is reliability of data is very important in any analysis or research activities. So, honourable member, under no circumstances that saying that independent institutions need to be excluded, as long as they report on reliable information, including non-governmental agencies. Another comment was about the budget vote. When should the BRRR start? And it was indicated during the budget vote. Yes, I agree with you, ma'am, that is correct. And submission of reports. Okay, let me talk about the content of the template, of the BRRR template that I implemented here. A number of honourable members indicated that it is biased towards the finance. Well, I must say that this template is guided by the Section 5 of the Act. Section 5 of the Act talks about the strategic plan, the effective and economic use of both monetary and non-monetary assets, and it also talks about the scorecard report. So the Act itself is kind of saying to us, let us link finances to the strategic plan. The Act does not lack the idea, but this is my own interpretation, that these are finances and these are service delivery on the ground. What it's saying is that I'm going to manage the two and verify if the two talk to each other. That is why in my presentation I indicated that each and every finance question or answer needs to be linked to the strategic plan and the strategic objectives. Because at the end of the day, money should assist the department to deliver better, faster, and timely on services. So yes, the template should not be geared towards finances. That is why on other information that is available, if you look at that list is mainly qualitative in nature, because qualitative performance is also of critical importance. And then, ma'am, I think we did touch on intergovernmental relations, where we indicated that sometimes the recommendation is not implemented after the recommendation was adopted by the House, by the Ministry. For example, a national strategy was mentioned. And I indicated that Parliament, there are procedures and processes that Parliament need to follow in order to check if that has been done or not. Because the Honourable Member indicated that they are not heavy, the committee is not heavy about the department spending. And the member was touching on a very important issue of violence. According to PFMA, the department is allowed to shift funds in the form of violence up to 8%, okay, before certain time. Yes, that is correct. And the honourable member was saying that 8% could translate into billions of rand if you are talking about a large amount of money, which is correct as well. And therefore, since finance committees are the one who are the custodian of this act, there are amendments in Parliament, and they exist for the same reason. And there's nothing stopping this committee of writing to the relevant finance committee, standing committee on finance, and solicit a relief on this, and also to make a recommendation that we think there should be a cap in violence because of reason 1 and 2. And that can be done from the committee to the standing committee on finance. Anyway, this is how amendments come about. And that one is linked to ensuring that this BRRR report is taken seriously by departments, and also other reports that the committee made are taken seriously about the Auditor General. There are revenues that Parliament can ensure, can use to ensure that their recommendations are implemented. was a question on how to include oversight fact findings on the BRRR. I think in my presentation I did touch on it. Perhaps I was not, I didn't stress that enough. But oversight fact finding, that is what the honourable member behind me indicated. That is happy about the word fact finding, because that's what we mean by oversight. And I included the word independent finding, not to rely on what the department is telling you. Yes, it needs to be included in the performance of the department. That is where perhaps I can link that question to Honorable Moshe, question on the methodology. So the methodology is site visits, for example, that was used. We conducted site visits in order to verify. I must tell you, honourable members, that I worked with the committee on NCOP, where we visit municipalities. You go to a municipality premises, and the act will tell you, yes, we've implemented the project, we have the project. And you say, okay, thank you very much. Let us go and see the project that you say exists. And then you find out that the senior manager will start calling mix the management or even junior officials to find out where exactly the project is. So it happens. So fact finding is very, 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 very important. And that is where now the methodology will come in. And again, when you are discussing your methodology, Honorable Moshe, you are trying to indicate to the department, this is how I arrived at my findings. So that at the end of the day, the department will know that the committee went through a thorough process in identifying findings and observations. In any scientific decision-making process, they will always emphasize on the how. How did you arrive at that, which is the methodology.
So the methodology can actually include here.
It can include.
We will be having a civil society organization tomorrow, independent.
Absolutely. Because they will be hearing for the people who are on the ground who are affected by this project. Imagine if my example that I used, the committee did not go to the municipality's premises, went direct to the people. They were going to find out or see themselves that there is no project. Unacceptable sources, I think I indicated that it's up to the committee what it deems reliable, and again, researchers and content advisors should assist to verify if the information before the committee is reliable or not. But reliability of data, I repeat, is very important in any scientific decision-making process, because at the end of the day, recommendations will be made. The committee does not want to be embarrassed at the end of the day, only to find out that the information they use is not scientific information, it's not reliable data. That is what I'm trying to caution them. And also, honourable members, why it's so important for us to be thorough in when we're doing this, because this report is very important. It will have serious implications on the executive as well, and the committee needs to ensure that it is basing their arguments on reliable information. I indicated that in the conclusion, the committee must indicate whether it is satisfied with the performance of the department under program A, B, and C. And I'm confident that this committee does not want to make a mistake of perhaps using information that is not reliable. Now, Honorable Lekhaso spoke about tabling of annual report. Yes, as I indicated, the timing of the tabling of or annual report is limiting. It is a challenge that Parliament is facing. And really, as Chairperson, in a chairs of chairs meeting, this issue needs to be brought up strongly so that something can be done. Because really, we've got two options. It's either they come early, or the submission of the BRRR report is delayed further in order to allow committees to do thorough job on annual reports. In business, we used to say that you can't do a rush job, rush, because the results will be rush, and the quality will always be questioned. So I agree with you, Honorable. Timing of this annual report
is what members need to discuss further. Oversight and fact finding, yes. This committee may allow me to redefine oversight, I'll be saying fact finding, because this information will be used to determine whether the department performed to the satisfactory level or not. The member added on commenting that he wishes this BRRR workshop could be given to all other committees. In the spirit of intercommittee relations, I think that is why the honourable member was raising that point. And then the chairperson wanted me to clarify on what I meant on page 5 when I was talking about may or must. Honourable chairperson, the Act says that PC committees in the National Assembly must look at the strategic plans of the department, must look at the scope of reports, they must look at the efficient, economic, as well as effective use of both monetary and non-monetary resources. And then Section 5 of the Act adds on saying the committee may make recommendations. May make a recommendation. So it's up to the committee. And I say it's my personal advice that the committee must make a recommendation. And the honorable member indicated that it needs to be a stronger recommendation. And I also advise that issue tracking mechanisms are very, very important. And then, you were asking about may or must, but you were also talking about the scope of report. From where I'm sitting, it is a challenge. And I look at the secretary, oversee the secretary's support to SCOPA, and I've raised this issue with the committee secretaries, and they engaged with the chairperson. And I do not know whether they had a committee workshop, on how they are going to assist committees, because really, the Act says you must look at their reports, which is obligatory on their part to ensure that these reports are ready on time. And the chairperson, I spoke to the chairperson informally, and they've got this in their plans. And I'm hoping that it will assist the committee a lot. And then, Honourable Chairperson, you spoke about measurement and implementing systems, which is very important. When the committee is engaging on the way of implementing the strategic plan, that should be done during the budget vote, because it is not sufficient for the committee to say we will do X, Y, and Z. The question is how practical it is. What is it that you are going to do in order to ensure that it is done? And the Act adds on to say what are the effective, efficient, and economic ways of doing what you wanted to do. The Minister of Finance has been talking about savings and savings and savings, and indicated that savings does not necessarily mean do not implement your project, keep money, and then call it savings. But he indicated that he meant that people must learn to do the job more cost effectively. I think in that spirit, this is what the committee may look at as well, to encourage the department to implement their strategies cost effectively, because we all know that the budget was cut down. Anyway, even if the budget is not cut down, these are public resources. These are taxes of the public out there. We need to be effective and efficient in the use of these resources.
Can I give you 2 more minutes?
Yes. Another important question from the honourable member is BRRR, which period are we looking at? Are we looking at the previous financial year or the current financial year? The Act says you must look at the annual report of the department. Okay. When we talk
of an annual report, it's the financial year and then the report. It means in this case we must look at the annual report 2009-10. That's the annual report we must look at. Because that is the annual report that is available to us now in the 2010 calendar year. And then in the template, the B-triple-R template, we advise that members must also look at the first two quarters of the current financial year, which is the 2010-2011, the first two quarters. Reason being, as the honorable member was indicating that, we do not want to focus on historical events, but we want to look at the current events. And also, we do not want to question things that has already been corrected. But what we want to do is to look at what is the situation status quo at the moment in order to influence future decisions. So what we've recommended in the B-triple-R template is that we look at the six quarters, four quarters of the previous financial year and two quarters of the current financial year. This is also important because the Act says the county must look at the strategic plan. A plan is something that you have now that you are going to implement in the future. So obviously, we have to look at the current financial year as well. And another comment that came from an honorable member is, we cannot afford to wait for the end of the year and then do B-triple-R report. B-triple-R report should be done during the course of the financial year or the calendar year. And again, when we are talking about issue tracking mechanism, looking at the implementation of strategic plans, that will be also important. And also it demonstrates that the committee cannot say 2 weeks in October, now we do the B-triple-R report. It's something that needs to be done as early as the beginning of the financial year. But also important when we're looking at the B-triple-R report is to look at the previous B-triple-R reports, because again, those recommendations need to be followed through. And some of the recommendations may have a long-term impact, which means after 2 years, then the committee may want to look at the B-triple-R reports. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable.
Thank you very, very much. At least I think we are much more informed now on what to do going forward. We will keep on consulting anyone from the committee report in an event we meet challenges as we process this. But I think your presentation was very clear, and we really want to thank you very much as this portfolio committee for making such a presentation to us. It makes more sense now because we will immediately be embarking on this process immediately, and therefore whatever challenges we might meet on the way as we implement this, we will never hesitate to ask for further clarification. But thank you very, very much for taking your time and for making this presentation to the Portfolio Committee. We will be breaking for tea and lunch. We'll come back here at 1 o'clock for the research unit presentation on the annual report for the Department of Police. More than willing to brief the Honourable George on the work that we have covered so far. Thank you very much.
Chair, on a lighter side, I was going to suggest that we ask the Honourable George to lead us in this process of the B-triple-R reports.
He is. Thank you very much. We'll meet at 1 o'clock.